Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Rain. Rain. It amazed me when we drove up. Even in the dark, I could see that there was grass everywhere here. It was green. When we left, it was brown. Do you realize what's happened in 2 weeks? Do you know how many farmers have been praying? That was just as big a miracle as rain dissipating was. It's just, you just saw it over a 2 week time period. We left and it was brown, and we come back and it was green, and we saw God move. If you'll start looking, you'll start seeing the hand of God in a lot more areas. I think that a lot of times we're just so caught up in the storm, we can't see outside of it. But rain in a biblical sense is oftentimes referred to as a blessing. He sends rain for us to receive the harvest. You can read that in Scripture. God withheld rain, the blessing, over Israel in 1 Kings, when Elijah said, it's not going to rain for another 3 years. Then 3 years, Elijah said, get prepared, get ready. It's getting ready to rain. Well, the blessing of God is oftentimes referred to in rain. And rain can also be a responsibility in Scripture. Can you handle the rain? Can you handle the blessings of God? In the tough times, in the good times, in the sunny days. Come on, everybody loves sunny days. Oh, it's raining outside. Do you realize that a lot of times we look at God's blessings as a burden? I mean, I've just been thinking a lot about this. Because as a hurricane was headed towards Hawaii, there was a storm of devastation headed right there. And I think about that and I think, along with the storm comes the blessing of what's needed for the harvest. Nobody likes storms. But do you realize along with storms can come blessings? Today, I want you to understand, as I'm talking about storms from a physical sense of a hurricane headed right towards me. I mean, a lot of other people, but I'm talking about me. Headed right towards me. There are storms in your life, and you might not even realize the other people that are in it because your eyes are all on you. And so the storm that's coming, in fact, I've heard it said like this. A storm is either in your life, you're headed towards it, it's headed towards you, you're currently in it, or you just came out of it. And if you just came out of it, there's another one headed towards you, or you're headed towards, or you're currently in, or you're coming out, and there's another one headed towards. Are you getting that? See, there's either one headed towards you, you're headed towards one, you just came out of one, or there's one headed towards you, or you're in the middle of it. I don't know which, but it's one of those four that you're in. But you can always know a storm's headed. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. And fallen things happen and storms are headed and you're either headed towards or one's headed towards you. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's relational storm, maybe it's some health issue. Whatever the storm, today our prayer as a church is that this storm dissipates. See, because there's going to be one, but that's why the hand of God has been placed upon your life to bring His presence into the situation. Well, I just believe that a storm's never going to come my way. Well, you're wrong. A storm's going to come your way, and that's why you're there. Because Jesus gave you authority over that situation, over what's happening, or through it, while you're in it, whatever. I want to thank God right now for His presence, for His peace that's available in storms. And one thing you can know is storms don't last forever. Will you bow your heads with me just for a moment? And will you just get in agreement again, Father, today? And you fill in the blank. What's the storm in your life? Father, right now, I just came through a storm. And Lord, I know that another one might be headed at me. I know I might be walking into one. God, I realize all of that. But right now, I pray that in the name of Jesus, that today I learn some tools for a dissipation to take place, for this thing to dissipate in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, that peace is mine. Comfort is mine. Your promises are mine. And Lord, that you would help me to learn today while the storm is coming to get myself, to put myself in a position where I can realize that your grace is sufficient and you're going to see me through. And I'm going to give you praise for it now before I even hear what I'm going to hear in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, God in the Bible sends storms. God sends storms. You can read that in the Bible. I mean, Jonah, you know the story of Jonah? The big fish sent. God sent a storm to take care of a situation. So you can see in the Bible where a storm was sent by God. Sometimes storms are demonic in origin. You can read about that when the evil spirits were cast into the pigs. There was a storm associated with demonic of nature. You can read storms come, storms go. You can read all of this. The Apostle Paul, he endured one of the most devastating storms that you'll read. And when I was talking about tempestuous, that's where that word comes, depending on which translation you're reading. But Acts 27, if you have your Bibles today, Paul's final biblical journey, that's not his final journey, you can piece together more, but the ones that are outlined in Scripture, the Scriptures outlining Paul's different areas of travel. Basically what you need to know, if you go back a few chapters and read, that's fine, but Acts 27 is where we're going to start. He was put on a ship because he had appealed to Caesar, and the Roman law for Roman citizens of birth in that day and age required Paul to be able to appeal to Caesar if he asked for it. And so he had this appeal to Caesar, and they put him on a ship. And I want you to know this was a two-week storm. Storms don't usually last 2 weeks. Here in the Ozarks, when we have a storm coming, you can know that in the next few hours, it will be past. Can you imagine a storm for 2 weeks? A two-week storm. Acts 27, verse 18. The next day, gale force winds continued to batter the ship. The crew began throwing the cargo overboard. That's when it's tempestuous winds. Verse 19. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and they threw it overboard. Church, it was bad. It was bad. In Hawaii, you've got to know on the backside of this thing, I look at this deal and I realize it was bad. I know I was kind of making light of something, and people were calling and checking in on us, and it was bad. There was a Category 5 hurricane coming right at us. And there was a whole bunch of different paths. And really, in hindsight, I was looking this up even this morning to make sure that what I was sharing was correct. The meteorologists were freaked out because they didn't know what to do with this storm. Here's a Category 5 headed right at it. You know, in Hawaii, this is another thing you don't think about in the mainland. There is at any time only a 4-day supply of food. Now, I have a little extra. But there's a lot of them, and my wife was one of those that would have been in trouble. 4-day supply. If they shut down everything in 4 days, there are a lot of people getting real hungry. And I'm pretty used to eating, so it would have probably been me too. 4-day supply. A really bad, bad storm was headed our way. Paul was dealing with this. And they took some of the ship's gear and they threw it overboard. This storm in Hawaii, you have to understand the miracle that we witnessed down there. It went from a Category 5 to a tropical storm in 36 hours. If you read some about that, I didn't realize this at the time, that was baffling to the meteorologist. They couldn't get, why? How did this go from a category 5 to a tropical storm that quick? That doesn't make any sense. Storms do something in your life. And as I just went through watching God perform a miracle, I didn't go through the storm, but you can go back to some storms here in the mainland. Some of you can go to some storms in your own life that you've been through physically with the weather, and you can go, that's really bad. Now, Pastor, you're talking today and it didn't happen. I get that. But it still makes you think. When one's coming at you, before it dissipates, you're going, okay, what are we going to do? There are three things that happen in this storm. And Paul, there's more than three, but there's three that I want to talk about this morning. The first thing I want to talk about is what happens in the middle of a storm or before a storm happens. And this happened all over Hawaii. And I know that when you've been under a tornado warning right here in the Ozarks, these things have happened to you. Here's the first thing that happens. You define and you refine your priorities. You'll define them and you will refine what your priorities are. See, they decided in this story, they decided what they should get rid of. They threw anchors to drag. They put on the brakes. They did some things. They decided this is not good. We don't know what we're going to do. We got to get more shallow. They had to get more light because they were afraid that with the waves going up and down, they were going to hit something. And so they're throwing off gear. You decide what your priorities are. What are we going to throw off? What do we throw off here? I mean, what's really the priority? The question that had to be asked is, what really mattered to them? What you throw in the storm defines some of what you have been holding on to that was not needed. God is stripping us down in the middle of a storm or before it happens to find out what you really need. That's what a storm does. And in Hawaii, it stripped people down. We went and we realized that a lot of people needed food. Michelle took pictures of the shelves there. They were empty. I said, I just need one thing. I need Jif peanut butter. And we went to get Jif, and all they had was Great Value. And I left it for someone else. I was defining my priorities. And I realized that a lot of other people had the same priority I had. They needed some Jif peanut butter. Storms will make you... that was a JK, a joke. Or just kidding, or whatever. That. You realign yourselves as Christians with the things of God. And you decide what's important. You throw overboard the things that are not as important as what you had been thinking they were before the storm. So I know I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen people in storms. And they determine real quick what's important. What you throw in the storm will determine how you grow in the storm. I want to say that one more time. What you throw overboard in the storm will determine how you grow in the storm. See, when the storm's coming, you'll start growing the areas that are the most important. And we got a lot of people who don't put the emphasis on their marriage and on their family that it needs to be because they're out making the mighty dollar. But when the storm comes, that dollar becomes a lot less important than the marriage and the kids and the family. Come on, we don't always look at things right. Verse 20, the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. Now, I want you to hear today, all hope was not gone, regardless of how dark it was, but they saw it as all hope was gone. There are people that are Christians that are here this morning that may be in the middle of a storm and they're going, you know what, all hope is gone. I don't know what I'm going to do. Verse 21, no one had eaten for a long time. Finally, well, it was kind of hard to eat. You're throwing up everything you put down. I mean, it's tough. Your stomach's in a knot. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all of this damage and loss. you would have, this wouldn't have been a big deal. But take courage. None of you are going to lose your lives, even though the ship's going to fall apart. I like Paul because right in the middle of something really bad, he throws a little joke in there. None of y'all going to die, but this ship's going down. Think that got their attention? Yeah, in the storm, you realize, okay, we thought the ship was kind of important. Verse 23. Here's why I can tell you that. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong, whom I serve, stood beside me. Have you ever been in a storm and you heard someone that knows the Lord come up and say, you know what, it's going to be all right. I've heard from God. He's going to see us through this. It's going to be okay. Have you ever been that person who said, you know what, it's okay. I've heard from God. Wouldn't you like to have been Paul in that situation? Hey, guys. Well, maybe, no, I don't really want to be on that boat. All I can tell you is you're going to be in a boat just like that at some point. And are you going to be Paul and say, hey, guys, it's going to be all right. The ship's going to go down, but we're all going to live. Last night, God told me not to be afraid because you're going to stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone that's sailing with you. How cool is that? Paul had such a relationship with God that an angel shows up to encourage him. I don't know what it was about Michelle and I in Hawaii, but I'm not lying to you when I said there was never ever remotely a concern of ours. There was more of a concern for people here about us, and thank you, thank you, thank you for all the texts, all the calls, all the communication that our church gave us. Are you guys okay? That was our number one statement that we heard. Are you guys okay? You know what we wrote back every time? We're great. It's beautiful here. Really? Yeah. But the news is saying, I understand that. I understand what the news is saying, but we were purposed to be there. God had given me a piece about that trip and what I was supposed to do, and I knew it was going to happen. See, I can read this story of Paul, and I can say, hey, I already know what God told me. I'm supposed to be in Caesar. I appealed to him. I'm going to Rome. There's not a doubt in my mind. I know what God called me to do, and his will prevail a storm. See, when God's given you a promise, you got to know that that promise will override the storm. You might have to ride it out, but we weren't concerned about it. Verse 25, take courage. Come on, take courage, for I believe God. Take courage, I believe God. That was what we were saying. Don't worry about us. We're believing God. It'll be just as he told us. We're going to meet with the pastors. Now, I'm glad I didn't have to say, but we'll be shipwrecked on the 20th floor of our hotel. The angel didn't tell us that, but that's what Paul said. We'll be shipwrecked on an island about midnight on the 14th night of the storm. Keep in mind, 14 days of this thing. We were driven across the sea. The sailors sensed land was near. They dropped a weighted line, found that the water was 120 foot deep. A little later, they measured again, found it was only 90 feet deep. At this rate, they were afraid that they'd soon be driven across the rocks along the shore. So they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship, and they prayed for daylight. Why'd they do that? They need to slow something down. They're desperate. They're desperate. The ship's moving too fast in the storm. And I just got from that, some people need to slow down. Come on, we're running so fast, day in and day out, that we are forgetting God. Trust God and follow him. You might have to throw some anchors out. You might have to say no to somebody. You might have to say, we're not doing all of that. You might have to tell your kids, no, that's not what all we're doing. Which leads me to my second point. A storm forces you to establish stability and to establish the right speed. Ooh, this is good. Are y'all getting this? Because you're a lot quieter than I was anticipating. What is stabilizing you was a force to slow you down. See, there are four things that stabilize you. And we're going so fast that we won't read our word. And when you won't read your word, it's like you didn't throw the anchor out. There was four anchors thrown out. And these anchors stabilized them in the storm. You're in a storm right now. Let me give you some stabilization. Because they needed that. Are you getting the reference here? They threw these anchors out to stabilize them because that ship was going too fast. Your storm's carrying you away. Whoa, we got to slow down a little bit. What do we do? The word of God. That's one of the anchors, the Word of God. It stabilizes you. God is our refuge. God is our strength. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Psalm 29:10. He rules over the storm's waters, over the storm waters. He rules over the storm waters. I'm not going to get concerned because God rules over that. So if they come, that's fine. I'll just float on downstream a little bit, but I'll have an anchor throwing out the Word of God that He's going to see me through. The second anchor is prayer. Prayer, communication strengthens your relationship. And 5 to 10 minutes of communication a day isn't getting the strength in anybody's relationship. Try that with just somebody you want to be friends with. And I'm going to talk to them just 5 minutes here and there, every once in a while. Would you be able to establish a relationship with a friend at the same rate you established your relationship with God? Would you be able to stay married using the same amount of communication you have with your spouse as what you're communicating with the Lord? Or would you be suffering? How much do you parents talk to your kids? Why do you do that? You're trying to establish a correct parenting-child relationship, so you're imparting to them all of the time. How much do you allow God to speak to you? How much time do you spend in the Word? How much time do you spend communicating? This third thing and the third anchor is worship. Worship. How much do you worship? How much are you standing in the gap in your life worshiping our wonderful Lord and Savior? How much time are you spending worshiping Him? Come on, we drive a lot. You've got time to worship. Put some CDs, put something in. Get your MP4. Download some of them songs into your car. The fourth anchor is community. You need family friends who you can get in agreement with. You need church friends. You need a community. Come on, people that are going through storms need somebody to talk to. And Facebook isn't really the deal. You're going through a storm and you're putting all of your storms out there on Facebook and you're not getting people to feel sorry for you. You're not getting people to come into agreement with you. You're getting people who are rolling their eyes at you. Well, yeah, I'm just going through a storm and this is just my rant and I want everybody to know it. I'm not here to call anybody out because I'm sure that everybody's probably put a rant on there at some point. But what I want you to know is you need a community and you need somebody to call and talk to and say, here's what I'm dealing with. You pray in agreement that this isn't going to happen no more. I got to get to a place in my life where I'm not having to throw a storm out and get people rolling their eyes at me, but I'm making a positive impact for people who are dealing with things in life. Community, you need family, you need friends you can get in agreement with. My wife, when there are storms in life and we deal with them all the time, I watch her on her phone and she is communicating one-on-one. She is texting with somebody and she is communicating the Word of God to them, or they're communicating the Word of God to her. See, there are times that anchor, as you throw it out, will be a force that's needed. If you can never have anybody speak into your life, then you'll never be able to slow down when the storm is going. You got to have somebody to be able to say, here's what the Word says. Now, come on. Come on, let's stand in agreement here. Or here's what you've been producing. Well, I didn't mean to produce that. That's why I'm here to tell you that. You're producing something and you need somebody to help you out here. You said something and you made everybody think this, and I know that wasn't your heart. So here's what you need to change. Come on, are y'all hearing me today? There are times that Christian people need to be able to say, that's what a community does. A storm will define who your best friends are. A storm will define who's going to really stand on the Word of God. God has to be the God in our storms. When I'm going through a storm, who do I turn to? And then fill in the blank. First and foremost, hopefully that blank is Jesus. Second, it's somebody who's really in tune with Him. And I don't just see that because of what they say, but I see it because of what they produce. I can see a peace in their life. I've watched them go through storms, and man, I'm telling you, I want to follow their family as an example, because wow, how they made it through that. See, but you've got to have a knowledge of who they are. Don't just follow somebody because they wrote a great book. People will recommend books to me all the time, and I'll read them. I like books, and I'll read and get what they said. I had a pastor give me a book this week, and I read it while I was going. I mean, it's a good book. But I don't know the guy from Adam who wrote it personally. But you know, I do know an Adam. And I throw some of the storms that he's been through in life. And now I'm watching him and his wife and his kids and his life. And I'm going, there's a man of God. See, I can watch people who have weathered some things. And I've watched them raise to another level. Wow, I think I can follow that. Hey, what are you doing? What's your thoughts on this? Here's what I'm dealing with my kids right now. Here's what I'm, but what we do is we run to someone who we don't even look at their fruit. It just sounded like a good idea. Well, I got to move on. Third thing and the last thing, if y'all are keeping track of everything, is he reveals commitment levels. Let me read verse 30. Then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as they were going to put out anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul said to the commanding officer of the soldiers, you'll all die unless the sailors stay aboard. See, the sailors are all getting ready to take off, abandon ship. Well, God had already said everybody had to stay on the boat. So Paul said they got to stay on the boat. The soldiers cut the ropes and said, sailors, sorry, guys, you're not going nowhere. You're staying right here. That's what I appreciate, that something was cut off and the commitment level to everybody was a result of everybody. Everybody stayed committed. Boy, if the church would help each other out here. Come on, quit cutting ties. Let's stay committed. Let's stay committed to the things of God. I know it's tough. This storm is trying to get people to run. I get that. We need to stay committed. God is wanting you to totally depend on him in this situation. So let me ask you today, what ropes do you need cut? Pastor, what are you talking about? Maybe you need to cut some computer time. Maybe you need to cut some screen time, whatever that is, computer, television, yes, I will say it, video game. Maybe you need to cut some time. Maybe you need to quit running back to mom and dad. Come on, you're 40 years old. Maybe you're just 21 or 22 and you just keep running back to mom and dad. At some point, you need to cut the umbilical cord. Ooh, really? Yeah. Maybe cutting some ties to things of the past that are getting you. Maybe cutting some ties to the friends who keep trying to pull you back. Oh, but wait, I'm their witness. No, they're witnessing to you because you're not able to move forward. That you haven't cut that. And I totally intended for today to step on some toes, but you need to know my heart. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit revealing this stuff to me over the last couple weeks as we faced a storm and realized that there are some things with our commitment that are not allowing us to be fully in because we always have a lifeboat that's hanging there ready to jump off. I don't know that I want to be here anymore. I just want to do something else. So I ask you today to find out who's in you, who's with you, what's in you, and who's guiding you. Young people, you need to hear that again. Who's in you? Is it all you? Is it all flesh? Or is it Jesus? Who's in you? Who's with you? Who do you find yourself hanging with? Who do you sit with? Where are you hanging out? What's in you? What's your heart really revealing? Is it revealing the things of God? And then who's guiding you? Or let me say, who are you following? Who are you following? If you don't know who you're following, ask your mom and dad. If you don't know who you're following, ask some of your friends. Who do you see me following? Because your life will resemble who you follow. You want to look more like Jesus, you need to start following him a little more. You want to look more like people who are following Jesus, and there's nothing wrong with that. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Maybe we need to start following Christ a little more through someone else who we see following him. Bump down to the last part, verse 43, the last part of 43. Says, then he ordered all who could swim to jump aboard or overboard first and make for land. The others held onto planks or debris from the broken ship, so everyone escaped safely to shore. There are some who can swim, and there are some who need to hold on. And I understand that there are different people at different stages, different maturity levels. But this word today was full enough to encompass everyone. Because everyone is either headed towards a storm, or a storm's headed towards them, or they just came through a storm, or they're in the middle of it right now. I don't know which one you are, but you're one of the four. And what we've got to do is we've got to know that God has given us three areas that will grow us in a storm. Are we ready to grow? We've got to be there. We're facing in life not just physical storms that are outside, but storms in our life day in and day out. And it will either cause you death, or you can let that storm bring the blessings of God and rain can start pouring in your, come on, rain comes oftentimes as a result of a storm. Did y'all get any of that this morning?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.